real gravel, not just walking, making chases to the places you and I might never be. From the city to the country, from the mountain to the valley, from the canyon to the ocean, from the desert to the sea.
Yeah. Good morning, and this is WBAI at 99.5 FM in New York, and this is the report to the listener, the July 2002 edition. My name is Valerie Venice, the general manager, and I am here in the studio with Bernard White, the program director, and Matthew Finch, the acting public affairs director. We welcome you to this report. We have, I think, a lot of important information to convey. Many of you, or some of you, or a few of you, listened to the National Board meeting that took place about a week ago, and we would like to catch up and update on some of the developments there. But as we move into this report, we want to, and I directly thank you for the extraordinary generosity of you, our listeners, who have stood by us for these first 6 months of the year, and the outstanding work of our staff, who has been with us every step of the way. I think we have done some constructive and positive work during this first 6 months back, and it's a tribute to the thousands who have helped us along this way. I also believe that our difficulties are far from over. There is a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel here and a basis for hope, but we are still in the midst of an extraordinary and historic debt crisis that will affect us for years. On the finances side, we completed the May membership drive and raised nearly $900,000. That was really 36% over what was done last year. And so far, WBAI has raised a very impressive amount, almost $2.2 million to this day. We have to finish the fiscal year by September 30th, and so we have about $300,000 to $500,000 more to do. There are some impressive statistics. For example, our listener support has increased by 21%. Our fulfillment rate has gone up to 76%. But what do all these numbers and stats mean? What they indicate to the station and to the staff is that our station is growing, and we are helping to grow it, that our audience is increasing, that we are stabilizing, and we are continuing to rebuild. At this point, we have about 18,500 members. Despite the great success that we've had for this first 6 months of the year, this fiscal crisis, again, permeates our reality. And we are still paying down debts and expenses and bills from last year, plus the operating costs from this year. I believe that we will finish the fiscal with a deficit that we hope will carry over so that it's not an extraordinary burden of anywhere from $100,000 to $200,000. But you can help us make that up, get as close as we can, so we are not continually crippled by this albatross by continuing to support the station. How can you do that? We have some plans. We have a summer fund coming up in August 5th through 9th. We will have a telemarketing campaign that we're working on right now. There will be direct mail appeals and other special events such as a peer party coming up July 14th, the September event at the Caribbean Day Parade. We will be there. All of these are ways and means to help support the station. So you've been there for us. We ask you absolutely to continue to be there. As you know, we've had some staffing changes, and we continue to work on some things. There are a number of job openings. There are meetings and negotiations going on with AFTRA, which represents the paid staff by their choice. There have also been meetings of the unpaid staff and producers, and they are not only in the process of choosing a union, I think they already have, and we want to begin talks with them as well, because that represents about 125 unpaid staff here. The following job positions are open at WBAI, and they're posted on our website, they're posted in our hallways, and some of them are posted on websites and public broadcasting community station billboards, you know, across the country. One of them is we made a lateral transfer for this transitional time for the public affairs director. And that lateral transfer involved Matthew Finch. He's serving in an interim capacity. The regular job is posted, and we invite people for all of the jobs I'm going to mention to, if you're interested, send your resumes and other materials to the station as soon as possible. We also made a second lateral transfer for the operations director, and the regular job is now opened as well. The development assistant job is at hand. The morning show host is also in the works. The assistant to the program director job and the development director, which is a management position. As you may know, the general manager search here has continued and is really now in process, and that is being led by the WBAI lab. So they have meetings every week. They are collecting resumes. Hopefully they will reach some kind of a conclusion in the next few weeks, or certainly before the end of the fiscal year. I'm going to leave, of course, the programming to our program director here and Matthew Finch, the interim public affairs director, because they can speak to it very, very directly. But I think we have done some extraordinary and compelling work during our May drive. I think we brought in new ideas, new concepts, new types of programming. And in the changes that we began talking about back in March and through April, and in fact, it's in the records of the National Board, we said that we had to redress some problems that existed from the past year, that there was a need to bring in new voices, and that we did need to provide greater service to our listeners. And that's a background to the changes that did take place and are taking place, changes which will be reviewed and monitored to determine how they're working out, how they're settling in, their stars, or, you know, no, they're not. And to keep that feedback going back and forth from station to staff, so that by the end of the fiscal year in September, we will be able to, with intelligence and judgment and skill and sensitivity, say, yes, this is working very, very well, and we can improve it this much, or this is not working at all, and we need to look at some other possibilities. We also made a commitment here to and for equipment. We revised and carved out a bit of money in the budget and got that, made that commitment and got that equipment in here before our membership drive, and it's serving us extremely, extremely well. All your help and assistance on the equipment side, of course, is greatly, greatly appreciated, because you can't run a radio station with equipment that is utterly beyond repair. Some other projects and proposals we've worked on, including the September 11th recovery organizations. So far, they have not been very responsive, but we will continue to look at every possible option. The lab itself has been engaged in membership outreach work. They have worked on the bylaws committee, and also several of them are part of the GM search committee. So that work is deepening and continuing, and there is much more to do, especially on the outreach side. And that is really being led by many of the listener groups who were so active in the struggle of last year. As we continue to move through this transition in March, I spoke to the National Board and I called on them to not let the rainbow die. And by that I meant the rainbow staff, the sense of diversity, Pacifica's mission and vision of inclusion should always be at the heart of the work that we do. And I was very glad to see that at this past board meeting in June, there was a proposal discussed throughout the meeting on diversity and race, and hopefully some actions will be taken. This is a very, very, very welcome development. There are other actions taken by the board that involved completing the audit for 2001, also that we need to fund the elections coming up for the lab, that certain jobs are now being not mandated, not an unfunded mandate, but they need to be in the mix somehow, whether we have to carve out of our budget or we go for grants or proposals or whatever, and also the reinstitution of the program guide, the folio at all the Pacific stations. So the work that we have done and continue to do, hopefully will rebuild WBAI, continue to rebuild it, help to stabilize it, get us through this period, and it is a very fluid one. We have to be flexible, but we have an enormous amount to do before we close the year September 30th, and we need to depend on you to help us do that. I want to now go to the program director, Bernard White, here with us in the studio, for a look at the programming work that is also being done.
Okay. This might take some time. I know whether you want to just slide something in right now, Matthew, or do you just wait until I...
Well, I'll wait. I just want to acknowledge our colleagues, Mark Leosa, who's running arts, and Jose Santiago, who's running news director, as well as Max Schmid, operations director, who were not with us for this report to the listener. It's 79 degrees in New York City. There is an ozone alert. Temperatures are likely to go up into the 90s. We are in a code yellow security position, and half the city is in nicotine withdrawal. So we're looking forward to a very restful weekend here in the town.
You can breathe, but not deeply. Yeah?
That's right.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. And this morning what I'd like to do is to just give you an overview of the program changes, which have caused a lot of concern, as they always do. It's never a time when you change programs and there's no concern. I don't care what kind of program it is. There are people who are listening and who love those programs and want to protect them. And any slight change to them brings about a lot of concern. And I don't know whether we will be able to allay any of those concerns this morning, but we certainly will address them head on. And I did prepare a little something. Over the course of the year 2001, a series of program changes were enacted by the previous WBAI administration. That administration made changes for a variety of different reasons, none of them based on an understanding of the logic of radio programming. They neither had a plan to strengthen our broadcast day nor a desire to adhere to Pacifica's mission. Listener-sponsored radio in general and WBAI in particular periodically, with some success, contorts that logic. However, we cannot completely escape the dictates of listener habits, also known as the marketplace. Because we are non-commercial, we have a lot more flexibility in our presentation of programs. For example, with deregulation, we can play an hour-long speech without interruption if we chose to. We could punctuate that speech by creatively mixing appropriate music, thereby turning an ordinary speech into a magic radio moment. However, where appropriate, without impinging on the integrity of the speech or the magic of the moment, I would like to hear the words, "You're listening to WBAI New York," and some identifying data on the speaker. Following January 15th, which is the day that we, many of us who were kicked out, returned, there was a great euphoria shared by most of our listeners and the returning staff. An historic battle had been waged, a principal struggle had been fought, and a people's victory had been won. Those who were illegally moved from their paid positions were returned, and all banishment decrees issued during that period were reversed. Upon our return, we almost immediately went into fundraising mode. As a result of the return to decent, respectful programming and the good feeling shared by many, not by all, we had a record-breaking fundraiser. In May, we continued in our record-breaking fundraising mode, a mode quiet as it's been kept. A mode that had been interrupted by the Christmas coup. Prior to the Christmas coup, we had at least four or five record-breaking fundraisers in a row. Our listenership had gone up as well as our subscriber base. In each effort, we attempted to regain and rebuild our diminished audience once we returned. As a result of our loss in audience during the fiscal year 2000 to 2001, we are in tremendous debt. If we are to climb out of this debt, we must analyze our programming, identify our strengths, acknowledge our weaknesses, and make intelligent program changes. We don't have the luxury of waiting a year or involving ourselves in a slow evolutionary process that would take years to achieve. We must move swiftly if we're going to keep the lights on, pay the landlord, meet payroll, eliminate our outstanding debt, and fulfill our mission. We are now in a climate of waning euphoria. newly emerging time demands, coalescing feelings of entitlement and stark economic realities. This constitutes some of the major influences in the new environment in which we presently exist. We can't ignore it. We can't wish it away. What we must do is develop successful strategies to weather this storm. Since I have returned to the position of program director, one of the questions that has arisen over and over is, what is my programming philosophy? What are the principles that I draw upon to make programming decisions? Well, here are some of those principles and how they were developed. Although I came into WBAI to become a volunteer back in 1980, I've been a listener since the early 70s. I've seen dozens of producers as well as administrators come and go. I've seen WBAI go through good times, bad times, and good times again. When I came to WBAI on November 22nd of 1980, I spent every day at 505 8th Avenue for about a year learning everything I could learn, not just about the mechanical aspects of radio, but how you place tape on a tape recorder, where you place your mic to get the best out of an interview, how to splice tape, how to transfer tape from a cassette to a reel-to-reel, or from reel-to-reel to cassette. Those were what I referred to as the mechanical parts of the job. But I attempted to take it one step further. I set out to learn the art of radio. How does one organize sound and ideas so that they become indelibly etched into the consciousness? How do you get people, based on the acquisition of new information, to become actively involved in the process of social change? That, is to me, is the measure of success. So whether I was doing a music program or a public affairs program, I did it based on those principles. All of the projects I have worked on have been in strict compliance with Pacifica's mission. I recognize that it is a privilege, a wonderful privilege, to be allowed access to the airwaves. I recognize that I am not the owner of the time in which I broadcast. I am a privileged custodian who's been given the opportunity to create art, to make a statement, to move people to positive action. This is the foundation, the engine, which governs and shapes my behavior as WBAI's program director. I work well with all of those who are willing to work in the best interest of the station toward the fulfillment of our mission. I believe that I understand WBAI and its listenership, which is why from day one of the coup, I declared that the coup would eventually be defeated and that the fired, banned, and harassed would all be returned. It was a notion that many people did not understand at that time, that I would not be complicit with those who were involved in the coup because they were wrong, what they were doing was illegal, and that it all would eventually be reversed because our listeners would not stand for it. I understood that because I think I understand our listenership. I work directly with a program council. All of my the decisions that have been made, and I say my decisions reluctantly because this is the program director who has to take the weight for all of the decisions that are made. But all of those decisions are tempered by, shaped by, influenced by the program council. The program council is an advisory group. They don't do the programming for the radio station. In the event that all of the programming goes awry and BAI begins to lose as a result of programming changes, they don't come in and fire the program council. They fire the program director. So as a result of that, I have a strong interest in making the programs our broadcast day as strong as it possibly can be. What we have done over the last couple of weeks is to introduce some programs, put some programs on hiatus, and we've had to cancel a few programs. When I say canceled, many of those programs were canceled. Among those that were canceled because people just could not do them anymore, or they either walked away from the program. Programs like Gut Bucket Matinee, the host of Gut Bucket is someone who's in the arts and has gotten a lot of gigs, and we appreciate and respect him for the work that he's been getting in his chosen field. Eradio is another one where the producer pretty much walked away and decided that they wouldn't be doing the program anymore. Then we had things like Let 'Em Talk and Radio Can Can and Night Drum and Soundtrack and On Time and Pacifica Network News and Orator. These are some programs that we did feel that, well, many of these programs that were held by the cool makers, and as a result, they're no longer here with us. Believe it or not, folks, we have 96 programs. Excuse me, 96 programs. It is absolutely amazing that that we have that many programs. When you stop and take a look at it, 96 programs is a program director's nightmare. I don't think that there's any program director in public radio that has that many programs on a weekly basis. 96 programs and at least three producers per program brings us close to 300 producers. I have 300 producers who all feel that they have to have a personal relationship with the program director. Now, I'm not knocking this. This is the nature of the job. And if anyone's going to take the job, they have to understand that and begin to deal with that. But that's 300 producers, 300 different personalities, all of whom feel that their program is special, as well as should, and that it should not be touched, it should not be moved, that it is something that's absolutely necessary for WBAI. If you've ever had to deal with that many people, and sometimes they all seem to call on the same day, you find that it's a very difficult task. I mean, there are department heads who also share that with me. I don't get a chance to talk to everyone, but you know, the department heads are inundated also with requests, demands, inquiries by these producers. What we've attempted to do is to continue in our fulfilling our mission, that we want to, given the diversity of New York City, begin to continue in our reaching out to various communities to bring them in, to allow them to speak in their own voice about issues that affect their community. We have, although we've there have been 10 programs that have been removed, there have been 23 new programs that have been placed on the air. 23 programs that cover a variety of issues that are designed to fulfill our mission. We have over the course of the last couple of weeks, a Haitian collective came in and did some programs about issues affecting Haiti, both in Haiti as well as here in New York City in the United States. We have a program coming on July the 4th called Ain't That Good News. It'll be on July the 4th and July the 8th. It'll be on the morning show from 8 to 9. And then on that Monday from I think it's from 10 to 11. Ain't That Good News is taking a look at people's successes, people's victories around the world, and how people have been able to confront globalization, how they've been able to confront multinational corporations and win victories, and how we can take from those victories and perhaps challenge some of the encroachment into our lives. We've put on two ecology programs, one program called Ecologic that looks around the globe and around the neighborhood and identifies ecology, how the ecology has been damaged by corporations, by bad government, and how we can go about making some changes in that regard. We have another ecology program that they alternate with called Create Your Healthy Home. Create Your Healthy Home is pointing out to us how inside the home there are substances and conditions that will affect our health, and how we can go about changing it. What are some of the alternatives that we can employ to create a healthy home? We have a reggae program. This is a reggae program that comes on at night called Burn Baby Burn Clappers. Now, how he got that name, I have no idea. However, it is an excellent reggae program, bringing us back to the tradition of good reggae program that we had abandoned. Another program is Under the Learning Tree, which comes on Wednesday mornings following Robert Knight. That would be Thursday mornings following Robert Knight. And major focus is on Jersey. What is happening in New Jersey? How, New Jersey politics, New Jersey issues, New Jersey social issues. And it is hosted by Kamal Kalfani, who has been a correspondent both with Wake Up Call as well as with the news concerning Jersey issues. And we're trying to reach out to get some more Jersey programs. Where we're going to put them, I don't know. But Jersey plays a very important role in maintaining this radio station. Soul Central Station, the station's only R&B program, real R&B program, comes on in the evening. Femme Radio, we put on the air two women's programs. One, Femme Radio, deals with women's issues. Another women's program called Joy of Resistance deals with feminist issues. And there is some distinction there. And so we have two new women's programs. We put in another program from Jonah Village, which takes a look at domestic violence, something that is pretty much silent. I don't know of any radio station that has a program that deals specifically with domestic violence in all communities. We've taken a look at the black community, the Latino community, the Asian community, and we'll continue to reach out and let women know that there is some help, that you don't have to live in a violent domestic situation. As you know, Free Speech Radio News came on, and once Pacifica Network News left, that is here. Gary Bird, a longtime producer in radio, has joined us. Now, Gary Bird, it comes from AM radio, so you're going to get that AM sound, but we're going to influence him, and as any environment that you're in, you're influenced by your environment. But the content, we're looking at the content, and he does reach out to the African-American community. He's well-known in that community, and we'll be able to make some bridges between that community and the greater WBAI community. Global Medicine Review. Dr. Kakai, a longtime medical activist in the community, has come on with a crew, and they have been doing some really good work in introducing to our listening audience other natural healing modalities. City Watch with Dina Colbert and Bill DeFazio, looking at city issues, just focusing on what is happening right here in the city, trying to educate people about city issues. What are some of the hot issues? How can you begin to impact in a positive way on some of the issues that are coming into the city? And a wonderful program called First Voices with Teokasin and Amanda. First Voices is a Native American program that just has received nothing but praise from our listenership, where they have been able to take us all around the country to begin to talk about some really important issues that not only affect the Native American community, but affect communities at large. I know one show that they did about hog farming and how that has impacted on communities where those hog farms are located, negatively impacted, and it's happening around the entire country. You and Your Money, Susan Lee, was part of the incubation, served its incubation period in Wake Up Call, is now going out. It is a half-hour program that talks about how you can control your money. She doesn't often talk to me because I think you have to have some money in order to benefit from it. But then there's the Tuesday Arts Magazine. We have attempted to develop a strip of arts programs where you can tune in every day from 2 to 3 and hear something interesting going on in the arts. Perspective is a part of that lineup. Perspective by Luis Reyes Rivera. Just last night I was watching, HBO was on, and Luis Reyes Rivera is part of the Def Jam presentation by Russell Simmons, a well-known poet, well-known community activist who's been around for 100 years. On the Count. On the Count is a prison program. Jose Santiago has been instrumental in contacting them. We had attempted to contact Eddie Ellis prior to the coup, but he wasn't available at that time. And by the time we came back, Jose Santiago had contacted him, and we now have a prison program, a program that deals specifically with the prison population, with individuals who have served a lot of time. Eddie Ellis had served 25 years on a charge that resulted from the counterintelligence program. He was set up by the counterintelligence program as when he went into prison. He still continued to do work of organizing people and getting young people to turn their lives around while in prison, and that work continues. Equal Time for Thought. Now, many of you have said that, you know, BAI is getting just a little bit too spiritual for you, and that there needs to be some time for folks who aren't spirituals, for some non-believers. So on Sunday, we have a program called Equal Time for Free Thought, and those folks, you can tune in for that at 6:30 following the Sunday news. No More Radio is back with the very zany...
Zany?
let's see.
That would be Anthony.
Anthony the Sloan. Radio that's done pretty much in the tradition of old-time WBAI radio, the very entertaining program that comes on Monday morning. So these are some of the programs that we have initiated. Now, these are all pilot programs. They are pilot programs, which means that they will be getting a monthly evaluation that we will take a look and see where they are strong and where they are weak, what can stay and what will probably have to be diminished in the amount of time that it has access to the airwaves. But these are in order for us to move forward, as I said, in order for us to pay these bills, in order for us to make this broadcast successful, our broadcast successful, we have to include people to make it more diverse, teach people how to do radio. And this is a lot of this is OJT, is on the job training, but it's something that we must do if we're going to move forward. Now, there are some programs that that you have heard from the producers who have, as far as I'm concerned, have misled you, that they have told you that they have been taken off the air, that they are not wanted here at the radio station, and that is not true. No one has been told that. There are programs like the Circle of Red Nations, like Armand DeMille, like Nuff Said, who have been told that they were going to be allowed to still continue to do programs, but that those programs would be coming on in Armand's case, just one less day. He had 4 days, now he has 3 days. Circle of Red Nations, we decided that they would be allowed to continue to do programs, but in order to make an evening strip of music, all of the programs that were in the evening strip were removed and relocated. So if you receive a letter from anyone or an email from anyone saying that this is just the first step and the program is going to be taken off the air, that is not true. That is not true. We have not made any such decision to just permanently take programs off the air, but we have to make adjustments in order to meet the demands of the day. In addition to all of this, it's also been mandated by the National Board that we liberate 2 hours of programs. They didn't give us 2 hours. They're taking 2 hours for the
the governance and bylaws and the elections and all of the issues that are now facing Pacifica in this transition.
And that demand on behalf of the National Board for Governance oriented program, it's 2 hours per week, prime time.
Right.
So that's a significant chunk. Right.
And so that all has to be factored into the mix. And you can't do that without having it reverberate throughout the schedule. So there will, based on that, we also will have producers who might feel that their program is being attacked. But then, you know, that is not the case. I'm not here to put myself out of work. Let me see if there's anything else. The other thing is that we do all of this with a bare minimum of staff. That radio stations that have far less producers, I mean, you know, they have like maybe 15 producers, have more staff than we have here. And, you know, it's just, it's difficult, but it's basically an act of love. You don't come to BAI to make a lot of money, because you soon find out that that's not going to happen. In fact, chances are that it'll cost you to work here. So given all of that, I mean, there's a lot more to be said, but I don't want to eat up all of the time. I know that there are people who'd like to call in and become a part of the radio station, but become a part of this conversation. But the programming that we have here at the radio station is pretty much designed to include the community, not to exclude, to begin to share these airwaves with more people, to try and increase our revenue, to increase our impact in the community. And I think that we have been pretty much successful in doing that. When you look at some of the ways that WBAI has impacted on the community, and not just our local community, but our community around the world. And, oh, yeah, but one other thing, or two other things. We have been in contact with people in India who are interested in sharing our broadcast, that we can begin to funnel programs into them that will be played throughout India. We have been in contact with people in London just this past Friday who are interested in also setting up an exchange where our programs will be played in London. So we continue to broaden not only locally but internationally.
And as we continue this report this morning, and this is WBAI at 99.5 FM in New York, the People's Radio, just a reminder about some events coming up. But even before I get to that, when we were at the National Board meeting about a week ago, all of the stations spoke. We did general manager reports, and then were other reports from other sectors. And then there were questions that followed each of the presentations. Because time was so very, very tight, there were questions from the floor, but WBAI never got a chance to respond during the broadcasting of that meeting. Some of the questions dealt with fiscal reports. We and the national office have been working very, very hard to pay bills, get back on track, get the material and the information and the data into our computers so that we can fulfill the obligations of the audit, so that we can get some fiscal reporting here. But no station has had any fiscal reports for more than 12 months, way back into the year 2001. We did not get the opportunity to answer that question, although the independent auditor certainly did and repeated this several times throughout his presentation. There was also a question about jobs and job posting. All of the jobs here that we have done, made hires, have either been lateral transfers, which we talk through and work with the union to get done, or they have been interim temporary hires because this is a transition period and the regular jobs are now being posted and have been posted again on our website in the station here, websites that deal with community and public broadcasting across the country. Also about volunteers, we need all the help we can get here. People who come in can help us in any number of ways, and have people who have helped us do research on getting better lighting here. People have helped us with the premiums, and we are ordering all of the premiums, especially the very large order that we have put in and already paid for the supercharge premium from Gary Null. That has been done, so we just await the delivery of that from his associate and his company. So many, many good things are going on here. And one question I want to put out to you, and you know, there are a number of ways we can, or you can answer it, is feedback on the broadcasting of the National Board meeting. Whether you think that that's a very good, valuable, productive use of our airtime, or you feel that we should be more strategic about it, or you don't think we should broadcast it at all. I'm encouraging you to write to me here at the station. We have email. If you go to our website, there's a response, wbai@yahoo.com. Let us know what you feel about some of these issues, because it will help inform our sense of mission and some decisions that we have to make here.
Okay, and I guess we'll, in the time that we have, I guess we should go to phone calls. We are at 212-209-2900. Just before we go into that, I just want to say that answering phones for the Public Affairs Department, generally, what you hear from are people who are dissatisfied. Although we have to say that in the case of Counterspin moving to Friday morning following Democracy Now!, our audience hearing Counterspin before anyone else in the country, there has been a very positive reaction to that shift. But I have been speaking on a fairly constant basis with listeners, hearing out your complaints about various programs and trying to come to some kind of understanding beyond the frustration that many listeners feel of exactly what their needs are as listeners. And I remain open to your commentary. Those of you who don't get on the air, you can always try to reach me here at the station after 10 o'clock, and we can have a conversation about programming.
And as we move on to some calls, remember that coming up July 4th through the 7th will be the International African Arts Festival. We'll be in Brooklyn, out there with the community for 4 days. That's at Fulton and Utica Street, right in front of Boys and Girls High School. There's a peer party coming up on July 14th. The Chelsea Piers, be there with us. And, of course, the August Summer Fun coming up August 5th through 9th, and we need your support for that. And now, Bernard, I believe we're going to go to the phone call.
You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, Valerie, I don't know when you're leaving, but I do wish you every good wish in the future. I do have a terrible hurt in my heart that you were a non-union person. At least that's what's reported. And I also am very unhappy with the fact that Al Lewis chose to take a very honest, innocent a call from me that was meant as helpful to his work on the Rockefeller drug laws, and to say on the air that, Monroe, there is no free speech on my show. And he repeated that. I've tried to get justice. I've tried to say that he demeaned freedom of speech, that he demeaned me, that he demeaned even the work he's doing. I don't understand how this...
Okay, I'll tell you what, Monroe. Let's talk about that at another time. We're talking about the report to the listener right now.
Good, and I want to respond to this business about being non-union. I abided by the union contract, negotiated 3 or 4 contracts here, made sure that the staff got raises every single year when management never did. In fact, management cut our salaries so that we could do this and kept that union intact. The union was dismantled last year, 2001, by the previous administration. Let's move on.
BAI, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. About the fundraising, why is it that the brothers and sisters down at WBAI, when you raise a certain amount of money for the station, why isn't that you can't get government funding? Isn't there, because you are within your First Amendment rights for free speech. So if you get, let's say, $1 million for a season or whatever, why isn't it that someone down there, you can't get the brain thrust or your attorneys to get matching funds the way a lot of these politicians do? Because you brothers and sisters are doing much better work than these so-called politicians that we have here.
Okay, hold on and we'll answer that.
We appreciate that, call very, very much, but we are very special, have a unique mandate that is both a blessing and a curse. The great blessing is it provides the independent judgment, independent editorial work, and integrity of no commercials, no underwriting, no corporate funding. That's part of the Pacifica mandate. We're utterly unique, throughout the country. There is some money that comes to us through CPB, and it comes to all of the stations. It's about $1.2 million. But that is taxpayers' money, and that is public money. That is also being looked at, by the way. There was a decision about 20 years ago to, in fact, include Pacifica in it. That may change. Right now, with a $5 million debt that we're trying to bear down on, I doubt whether that any movement on that will happen over the next year. But it's because of our unique mission that we do not take corporate funding, underwriting, or any strings that would encumber our independence.
And in fact, we do. We have what's called the corporate matching plan, whereas people...
It's an employee matching plan.
An employee matching plan, but there have been internal debates about that as well, saying under any circumstances should we take money from someone who is employed by Texaco. Even if Texaco doesn't want to give us the money, this employee match plan forces them to, but should we take it? Should we push that? That's been an internal debate, and it's one of the reasons you don't often hear about employee matching on the air, is that some people are uncomfortable with the symbolism of that, not uncomfortable with the money.
And you're on the air.
Mid to upper 70s, and tomorrow the free H's return again.
Thank you very, very much.
Okay.
Give us an update on
that's
the weather.
Right. Oh, and but
in Alaska.
You're on the air.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. How are you all?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm hoping everybody in the family is doing real well. This is Brother James in Manhattan. I want to take time to commend you for being able to steer through these very austere financial and administrative times. That turbulence was just horrific, but you've done a magnificent job. And to say that I believe that the programming now is the strongest I've ever heard it as a listener, that we can't be against change just for change's sake. It's much more diverse. It's much more intellectually titillating. So I think we're heading in the right direction as long as we keep peace and harmony. But turning to the issue of listeners' rights, I am hoping that the bylaw subcommittee will come before the WBAI family and at least be able to itemize by a short caption and summarize the nature of each and every bylaw that has been submitted to the subcommittee, not for the purpose of debating those bylaws, but to let the listeners know, and in consequence it may enhance participation if they know just what is pending. The National Board, I thought Ms. Keegan did a great job. It's a very difficult job for her, but it was a source of perturbation to me that in our effort to be open and disclosure that we got into details of the transfers of payrolls. And I did not like the way the board members from Washington, D.C. reacted to Amy Goodman, marginalizing Democracy Now, taking the entire weight that it has brought to the Pacifica Network and acting as though it was an albatross. I think that was just untoward as it could be, because we know, and they're not being honest, and for that reason, we want Democracy Now and forever. And I think that it was very, very untoward on the board's part to play cavalier with Democracy Now. Amy Goodman has earned an unprecedented role as a journalist internationally, and that show must be revered like it is the diadem, indeed, of our network. So keep up your good work. But here again, because we don't know who's out there, when we get into details about bank transfers going here and there, I just don't think that that's absurd disclosure. I think it leaves us vulnerable to people who are dedicated to the destruction of the Pacifica Network. So I would hope that on some of these matters, a little better judgment in terms of disclosure would be made. Because what we want to know as listeners is that you're honest and that you respect our role in terms of what we do to help you out of these crises. But you're doing a magnificent job, and keep up the work. And I'm going to pray that the listeners stand abidingly in your favor. And good luck to you, Valerie. Thank you for your contribution during this critical time, too, and Matthew and others. Let's try to foster initiatives of joy and love and harmony and cooperation. And I think we can prevail over the worst of times. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much for those comments, especially about your feedback on the National Board meetings. That's very helpful.
You know, one of the things that you didn't mention, Valerie, or I didn't mention, is what has happened to our subscriber base.
Our subscriber base, again, based on the figures, when we came back here in January, our subscriber base, our membership base, was less than 13,000. In fact, it was like 12,757. At this point, at the end of June, our subscriber base has gone up to 18,546. That is over a 30% increase, and more than that, in fact, over these first 6 months of return. That's one of the statistics I mentioned, and then said, what does it mean? It means the station is growing, the audience is growing, we are really on the road to recovery and on the road to rebuilding. So we keep going like this. We should hit the magic number, 20,000, which we have wanted for a long time, membership in WBAI. Hopefully by the end of the calendar year, perhaps not by the end of the fiscal year.
Okay. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
I just want to say that I think the changes are good, and in particular, I really enjoy that comedy show that's on in the afternoon once in a while, that live comedy show. I think it's good, and I hope it continues on the air.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. If we can get in one more. BAI, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
I was wondering if there was ever going to be a jazz show at your station again.
Tonight, 9 o'clock, Bill Farrar, Jazz Sampler, 9 to 11.
Listen to me. I'm talking about something that is much more freer in nature, because you've been covering one area of the music, but since you're a revolutionary radio station, it would be helpful if you had the so-called avant-garde down there. It's not a word that a lot of us who played use, but we feel that it would go good with what you're talking about. In fact, that's the history of your station. When I was listening in the 70s, I don't know what happened with that. And in a revolutionary sense, creative improvised music
okay.
is on the front line of what they don't want the people to know about. So,
all right. Well, we'll certainly take a look at that.
No, excuse me. It would be nice if you had one, because we need an outlet, too. And,
thank you. Thank you for your advice and your counsel. We appreciate it.
All right.
As we move toward concluding this program, we remind ourselves about the commitment to the Pacifica mission, that it's a vision that constantly guides us like a North Star, that points the way to greater freedom, more equality, and deeper justice. That it's a mission, and as a mission, it's both a tool and a weapon. It's both a pen and a sword. We are dedicated to it. We hope you are too. Stay with us as we move into